I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name's Colin, and I'll be your host this evening, and I'm delighted to be joined by Bill. Bill, it's just the two of us tonight. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you, Colin. Yeah, pleased with the result today. Performance was okay as well. I think we could have had a couple of more goals, and I'm sure we'll maybe touch on that as well. But overall, you know, if you'd offered me 4-1 before today's game, absolutely would have taken that. So, aye, good 3 points.
Absolutely, I do agree with you. And hello to the listeners already tuning in and getting the comments in. Thank you to everybody watching on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter. And, of course, everybody else listening back to the pod afterwards. As always, if you can find us a like, subscribe or wherever, follow whatever platform you're watching or getting us on, it does really help the podcast grow. So first comment for Smoke Madrilla, I always love seeing his name pop up in the comments because it's a great name. Hope we are positive tonight, Trips, and I think it's going to be a fairly positive pod, Bill, compared to the last few weeks. But we can't just pretend that we didn't lose a goal. How did you see the opening 10-15 minutes? I actually think I jinxed Rangers by turning around to my dad in the 10th minute saying, this has been all Rangers. Kelly aren't anywhere near us. And then, of course, we concede.
I thought we started well. Thought we started pretty fast. About 30 seconds in, I thought Lundstrom made a sliding tackle in midfield and I was right up for it. I jumped out of my seat and really felt as if it had set the tone for what came the next 10 minutes. I thought we were, I wouldn't say we were all over them the first 10 minutes, but, you know, we started well, we were getting into their half. And then they go upfield and score. And I don't know, like, I think there is a bit of criticism. Barisic probably needs to do better before the cross comes in. And the ball to the back post, maybe Tav should go and close the man down. But I've seen a couple of people saying in the comments it's a freak goal. It was a freak goal. You know, the boy, the ball comes across him, he tries to play it back with his left foot. It comes off his left foot, but then comes off his right leg, cannons up, hits Tav in the hand and goes in the net. You know, so what are you going to do about something like that? If that had stayed out, by the way, given what happened later in the game, I think we're down to 10 men because Tav's handled it right on the goal line. So, yeah, I would say, in reference to what Smoke has said there, I'm fairly positive, I'm fairly upbeat, quite bullish, I think. I'm sure we'll talk later tonight about next week and what that could mean. And you know, how what we might do. But I think I'm quite positive. I've, as you know, as the listeners will know, I like to sort of keep the heat and keep the nerve. And, you know, I still think we're in this title race. I do think either team could drop points, you know. We're just as likely as they are, I think. They looked pretty good yesterday, for what I saw. But I've seen them look good and then be rubbish the next game. So, you know, we need to go there and beat them, obviously. But Clement, I think, was right in his post-match press conference when he talked about, you know, we just need to do what we've done, but be a bit more clinical. Because we have been, it has been close. You know, it has been close between us and them the last few games. So, yeah, I'm fairly positive, fairly upbeat. Feeling good after today's result. As I say, I think towards the end of the game, it would have been nice to see us press more and try and score another couple. We seemed to take the foot off the gas a little bit at 3-1. And that kind of annoyed me a wee bit. But overall, really positive and really pleased with the 3 points.
Aye. In the build-up to this game, I was saying I think you'll be 1-0. I think you'll be a dreary watch, and I would have took that. I'll be honest, before the game, I probably would have took any sort of 3 points. It's good to see the goals coming back. It really is. Just before we get in there, because you're right, there's a lot to be positive about for what we've seen today, and I know we need to caveat everything with we were playing against 10 men, but you can only beat what's in front of you. I think we'll take a lot of confidence, but there's a few comments coming in about my captain, my hero, James Tavernier, and I'm not going to gloss over it. I know, well, comments coming in saying like free goal, that kind of stuff. Dave A.T., your good friend, he's saying teams are now targeting Tav. I do wonder if teams are waiting to see what Dyson made have done for, you know, consistently against Tavernier. He does struggle when getting pressed. He's usually good in the air, I must say, but he's lost his man today. Is this something I don't want to say worried, but do we need to be mindful of that next week? And how do we combat that with our fullbacks switching off?
Aye. So there was a couple of moments today where Tav looked suspect, looked a bit shaky. And obviously the goal, you know, I did say it's a freak goal, but like I say, he probably needs to do better. He loses his man. He should go and sort of close him down a lot quicker when that ball comes across the back post. He does win clearing headers quite a lot. He does, you know, jump and head the ball away pretty well. I'm not concerned about that aspect of his game. It is the switching off or the, you know, a clumsy touch. And it's no like loads, it's just once or twice a game, but it does cost us. What do we do about it? So, look, it seems to struggle against Eisen Maida. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Obviously, Maida's got that pace and that intensity. He's a terrible footballer, that boy. He really is. You know, because like 8 times out of 10, his delivery's hopeless and he's no real end product. But
he's a great advert for athleticism can get you far in any sport. Athleticism without the talent is that's Dyson Maida all over.
Aye, but whatever. I mean, Tav seems to struggle against him. And Maida only needs to get one or two lucky breaks. Like, you know, the game at Ibrox against them, you know, the game had barely started. And it's that long ball over the top for Joe Hart. And Tav sort of kind of switches off. He's just jogging back to it. And then he realises Maida's hot on his heels. And Maida covers the ground quicker than Tav does. Although Tav's quite a quick player. But Tav comes back, he kicks the ball away, but it sort of cannons off Maida and goes into the net. And again, it's a freak goal, but Maida only needs that one bit of luck against Tav. And, you know, maybe he'll only get it once in a game, but maybe that's all that he needs. And I wonder, you know, like obviously we saw Dejan Sterling playing today in the right wing berth in front of Tav. And I wonder if that'll be the same next week. I kind of like Sterling in midfield, in the centre of the midfield. And I think if he goes in there, that would be good. But equally, I think over on the right, helping Tav against Maida would also be good because, you know, the two of them can double up. Sterling's got a decent pace about him. He's got a lot of athleticism. He'll maybe shrugged off the ball. And I don't actually, from what I've seen, I don't think he's as defensively suspect as Tav. And I do wonder now if it's time to actually switch the two around and play Tav further forward and play Sterling at right back. I don't know if that's something that the manager would think of or would go for, but I'd certainly be willing for us to give it a shot. The reason not to do that, obviously, is it's a crucial game and you don't want to change things and do something you've never done before in a crucial game if you really don't need to. So, you know, Tav, as I say, does seem to struggle with Maida. Sterling over there to help him out, I'm sure. I think that'll probably be okay and it'll take care of itself. If Tav doesn't have any horrendous blunders, but, you know, if he does have a horrendous blunder, then I'm afraid all bets are off because Maida seems to get lucky when Tav has a horrendous blunder. Maybe I need to give Maida some more credit there. Maybe that's no fair on him. But I don't ever feel as if Maida, when he does something good, I don't feel as if he ever means it, you know. So that's kind of the reason that I say that. But I don't think it's something I'm overly concerned about. I think, you know, hopefully we'll be okay. If we start the way we started today and we're a bit fast and playing a bit of intensity and getting the ball forward, and then hopefully we can keep playing like that. I think what I was watching today was decent, but I still feel as if we didn't have enough movement up front. We didn't have enough, you know, we saw a few times where there was a given goal and we actually tore commandments to the defence open. We need to be doing more stuff like that. Anyway, you asked me about Tav, so that was my response to the Tav question.
But that leads us nicely into the first talking point. So I'm going to scrap the 400 minutes that we spent watching the refs, you know, try to work out. I'm going to come back to that at the end. That would get football cancelled, it really would. But on to the goals, because the movement, you and I were speaking off air, both thought Todd Cantwell had a great game today. He was man of the match for me. Seen a lot of criticism. Again, like, everybody will take different things from watching a game. You see different things from the, you know, if you're at the game or where you sit or if you're watching on TV. Eventually, the first goal comes with Todd Cantwell. A beautiful ball in, and Silva does well to get ahead of Lewis Mayo. You've seen Todd Cantwell get beyond Dessers quite a lot today. It's something I don't usually think Todd Cantwell think long darting runs beyond the number nine. He's more get the ball in the pocket. So we've seen something different for him today. What was your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I liked him today. I thought he did well. I don't know that he was great, but I did think he was the one player in our team that did look dangerous when the ball was coming to him. And yeah, he does do that thing normally of sort of playing in the hole between the midfield and the defence. And I like him in there. I like him taking the ball in and picking a pass. But he was making some more of those runs today. And it actually put me in mind a wee bit of the types of runs that Scott Arfield used to make when he would kind of get up and support the forwards, you know. I thought Cantwell was the one guy who was probably going to unlock Kilmarnock's defence today. He looked up for it. He was, you know, he had a couple of wee sort of half chances to get the ball into the box and things, and it wasn't really working out for him at times, but he never stopped trying. I was quite pleased with his performance today. I felt a bit of annoyance when the manager brought him off. Understand the reasons for that, probably, is he's wanting to get Lawrence some minutes in the legs. You know, we could still need both of them in the run-in. I personally thought that you could probably have had both on the park today. I know they do get a wee bit in each other's roads, but, you know, we were up against 10 men, and I think we were already comfortable by the point that Cantwell came off, so I'd maybe have left him on, but... Yeah, as I say, at the time, I remember just being a wee bit annoyed that the manager had decided to take him off because of everybody on the park. He was the one that looked as if he could do something.
Quite a few comments coming in around Silva's celebration. So So for anybody that didn't see it, he's turned to the crowd and gave the chatter, putting his hands together as if folk talking about him, then turns around, points to his name. I don't really like that sort of stuff in general. I can get along with it if we are, 15 points clear head into a treble and the player that does it is like in a great run of form. I remember Alfredo Morelos doing it a couple of times, but this is when he was, hitting his peak and like scudding Borussia Dortmund. He's not going to win many favours with doing that. I don't know if I'm going too much into it, Silva, if this is a go with the Rangers fans or the media or whatever, but I don't know. When he's not quite covering himself in glory week in, week out, I think the best thing he can do is just apply himself in the pitch.
Maybe. I mean, he doesn't look like the £35 million player, does he? Most of the time, I would say. I don't think he's had a lot of really good games in a Rangers jersey. He was good against Benfica when we played them away. He did well that night, but today I think was actually one of his best games. And he wasn't great today. He was decent. He'd three or four chances to score. He got a goal. As for the celebration, I'd struggle to get upset. I mean, he is a young boy. I don't know if he feels that he's been unfairly targeted or whatever. You don't know which of the, because he's had a lot of criticism. You don't know which bits of criticism it is that he's picking up on. I think in general the criticism myself is pretty justified. I don't think he's done anything really to warrant the so-called huge price tag and probably the substantial wages that he'll be on. His time at Rangers, he's been unremarkable, probably is how I would put it. He's probably deserved the criticism that he's got as far as I'm concerned. But if he wants to give a bit of stick back, yeah, so be it. If he's doing that, I'll be okay if he scores a goal in each of the games now till the end of the season. So, I struggle to get upset with criticism. I can see why some folk are, but I think you can take it also seriously sometimes. You're team 1-4-1 and you have to kind of let some things go.
Smoke Mazzola says we need to take the positive of the day, lads. We're Kangaroo Cotton, a winning team today. Fair play. Right, so we go in, and just on the mood, I was at Ibrox and we were, I say we, I'm including myself here, visibly frustrated throughout that first half. And I think we would have been quite a hostile bunch if we went in 1-0 down at halftime. But we get that goal back. We're lifted, also we're playing against 10 men. And at halftime, the manager makes a strange sub. New signing Ben Davis comes on for Leon Balogun. Who is this guy? I hear you ask, but it looks to be tactical for what I thought, and I can see why he made that sub. Obviously, John Suter's the best centre half we've got in terms of carrying the ball, so put him more on his more comfortable side. Ben Davis is probably better at spraying the ball about. We were going to dominate the ball, so I can see why he's took Balogun off. And the big man ends up getting the second goal as well. What was your thoughts on probably Davis and Suter in general? And because both of them popped up with goals.
Yeah, thought Davis did okay. I've never been his biggest fan. I think he's okay with the ball at his feet and spraying a pass, like you say. But I think I don't think he's. In terms of the physical side of the game, I don't think he's good enough. As far as I understood it, Leon Balogun had an issue with his back, which is why he came off. That's certainly what they were saying. Was it Sky Sports? I watched the highlights, and I'm sure the commentator talked about Balogun having an issue with his back, which is why he came off, but that might be wrong. I thought Ben Davies did okay. He's not really featured very much. Under Philippe Clement. And, you know, I think moving Davies across, across onto his right foot probably benefited him a wee bit. Given that Balogun might be injured, I'm not really sure what the situation is there, I was a wee bit concerned because that leaves us going out next weekend potentially with just Souter and Davies to choose from. But we'll wait and see, I suppose. I don't know really what the deal with Balogun is. Yeah, Davies, I don't think he did anything wrong defensively, really. Played a few good passes and obviously gets the goal. It was actually, you know, Lundstrom's shot. I said to my brother today, we were talking about goals for corners, and I said that's a goal for a corner. He reckons it's not a goal for a corner. He reckons that basically it has to be put into the box and headed in for it to be a goal for a corner, I think is what he's saying. But, you know, the ball comes out straight for the corner to Lundstrom. He shoots. I think that's a good move that we've worked on in training. And I was pleased to see Rangers players actually follow the ball in and go for the second ball. Davies gets there, kind of just bundles it across the line. I think what actually happens is Davies makes the contact with the ball. The goalkeeper actually saves it, but pushes it onto Davies' legs and it bounces off his leg and goes into the net. But, you know, they all count. We'll take it. And it was nice to see him getting a goal. He looked really pleased with that. One other word on John Souter. I know he did well to get the fourth goal, and that was a good header down at the corner. But earlier on in the game, did you see John Souter trying a shot outside the box?
Oh, Jesus, man. If the VAR didn't, if the VAR wasn't going to get the game cancelled, his shooting would have, that was a poor effort.
Yeah, so, and I'm seeing Alan in the comments there talking about how Davies didn't actually have to do much defending today, and you have to take his performance with a pinch of salt. I think that's right. As I say, my big concern with Ben Davies has always been that I don't think he's got enough in terms of the physical side of the game for the Scottish League. I think that he kind of struggles and he can be bullied, you know, but he's fine enough in terms of positioning. He's decent at playing pass out for defence. It is just that it's the getting muscled off the ball that I worry about with Davies. And, you know, we've seen kind of that happening to Souter and Goldson as well recently. So it happened to Balogun in the, was it the Dundee game? Mm-hmm. The Ross County game, I can't remember. We lost a goal with Balogun getting muscled off the ball. So it's not just Ben Davies, to be fair to him. It seems to be all our centre backs.
I've put a poll on YouTube asking if the folk watching there would start Davies next week. 64% of them were saying that they would start him. I think, unless we need to through injury, I do think Alan's comments fail. We need to take it with a pinch of salt. And he's just back for you out in the cold. And yeah, a game at home chasing goals against 10 men defending for their life is going to be a very different challenge to where we get at Parkhead next week. Yeah. So it's a completely different style of game. I think it'd be Balogun and Souter for me. I do like Souter on the right side of that defence a bit more. And I know, you know, probably the older school listeners will say it shouldn't matter. Like, if you're playing, like, you're playing centre-off, you're playing centre-off, you do your defending job. I think when Souter's big attribute is how well he carries the ball out, he's more comfortable with that on the right.
Yeah,
but again, I think him and Balogun, Souter's probably more comfortable on the left out of there too. Can you see them switching next week?
Don't know. When Goldson dropped out the team, so what was that? Was it the game against Dundee? Maybe, I can't remember. Goldson's missed 2-3 now, I think. But anyway, when Goldson dropped out the team and the lineup was named as Balogun and Souter, I actually did wonder if Balogun would play on the left and let Souter play on the right. Because I'm sure, you know, a couple of seasons ago, we had quite a while of Goldson playing on the right and Balogun playing on the left, the centre-back berths. I mean, my concern for next week with Balogun potentially being injured, if it was up to me and all three are fit, I think I would start Balogun and Souter. But, you know, I could live with Davies and Suter, I guess. Suter's problem, Davies' problem for me, as I was saying, was the physical side of the game, is getting bullied off the ball. And I think, you know, Celtic are likely to start with Kyogo up top, and I don't see him bullying anybody off the ball. He's got other skills and other talents that we need to be concerned about that I'm not sure we're up to coping with, but he's not going to bully Ben Davies off the ball. But I'd still start Balogun and Suter, but my big concern with Balogun potentially being unfit is actually just if we've only got the two to choose from, you know, it's a worrying situation to be in. And, you know, if something does happen to one of them, what are you doing then? Are you playing Lundstrom at centre-back again? Because I have nightmares about that still. You know, I mean, he's okay dropping it in the middle of a back three in some of the European games or something, but actually trying to play as one of a centre-back pairing was horrible, and it's no John Lundstrom's fault. That was just necessity. That was the way that Gio was using him because, I mean, who did we have available? James Sands at that time, I guess. But, you know, apart from that, like, your only other option really is maybe Leon King. He's not been anywhere near the team for a long time. So, yeah, my big concern for next week would just be if we're actually only going into it with only Davies and Suter available for selection. I'd prefer to have the three of them available for selection, regardless of whether he plays Davies or Balogun next to Suter.
No, that's it's a scary thought, because when we're talking about Davies, Suter and Balogun, all three of them have had a fair share of injury woes, so, and we all work this season, it's not out of the realms of possibility that, I don't know, as John Lundstrom and Leon King starting centre half next week. Yeah, hopefully we don't, and we've got a good headache to have where the manager has to pick from three fit centre halves. Just on John Lundstrom, what was your thoughts on the midfield today? I thought the second half, in general, the team were much more composed. They didn't look like frightened rabbits. And again, against him, but I think him and Diomande ticked really well. And together, Diomande got the sponsors man of the match. I think Lundstrom looked a bit more energised today than what he has done in the last few weeks. And again, he's not blessed with pace or great athleticism, but he wasn't towing a cart horse today.
No, he looked okay today. I mean, no more than that, just okay. Because I have seen him a lot better. But he seemed to have a bit of dynamism about him today, and was looking to get the head up and play the ball forward. He did, I think, at a point during the first half, if I remember right, he did tend to regress a wee bit, and for 10 or 15 minutes was kind of playing back the way and, you know, kind of playing sideways and stuff, but then he came back into it a wee bit. But as I say, like I said right at the start tonight, the sort of 30 seconds in, he made a brilliant sliding tackle in midfield, really aggressive. And I thought, oh, here we go. That was really setting the tone. I did think he definitely got pass marks for me today, and he's not had that much recently. So pleased with that. I think, you know, he looks as if he's got a bit of a partnership with Diomande now. And, you know, they could be a good midfield too for the run in. It could work for us next week against Celtic, I think. Lundstrom physicality is going to be important in that game potentially. So hopefully, you know, the fact that he played all right today kind of spurs him on next week to do even better. I think just all that kind of dead slow, dead cautious, playing the ball back all the time. As I say, he did kind of go into that for 10 or 15 minutes, but for the most part, he was quite composed. He was looking up, he was playing the ball forward, he was moving it quickly as well, which I like, because a lot of the time he kind of takes several touches before he passes it backwards. You know, but he was actually just getting the ball and moving it quite quickly today, which was good. I think, was it? I know you said Cantwell. I actually thought it was Lundstrom that put the cross in for Silva's goal. I've maybe made a mistake there. Whoever put it in, it was a cracking cross, but I thought it was Lundstrom.
Oh, it might have been. Again, I've not seen all of it back, and my sight's shocking, and I was watching Federer into the pitch. So that's, you know, I'll call that one out. I think it might have been Scott McKay on Thursday night's pod mentioned about going more a back three, no, sorry, a flat midfield three against Celtic. Just to try and combat, like they do have a better midfield than us. Like that's we need to be honest here. If we were to go with a flat three, I think Scott's suggestion was do John Sterling maybe going in to add that energy in. I think that maybe takes it away. I think a big part of, you know, our game is to free up Akanwell or Lawrence, but again, like, do they become a luxury in this type of player, type of game? I think if we were going to try anything changing with the midfield, we would have seen it today. I don't see him changing the formation for next week. So I think it's, for me, it'd be Lundstrom and Diomande. Any arguments to say that Sterling comes into the midfield, or we see Nico Rashin and Tom Lundstrom on?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today as well.
I don't think Raskin definitely doesn't start next week, not for me. I like Diomande, but I do think Sterling in midfield, if we can do that, and, you know, we spoke previously about Sterling playing on the right and helping Tav in terms of dealing with Maeda. But let's assume that problem is solved. I actually think Sterling really works in midfield. I think he'll, you know, because that Callum McGregor can really dictate the play, you know, and I think Sterling can get close to him and spoil his game a wee bit, stop him from playing. And I think Hitati is really good as well, and if required, Sterling can get close to him and break the play up. Sterling's a better kind of destroyer type midfielder, that I think, than Diomande is. Diomande's good at picking a pass and playing it forward and, you know, taking the ball in tight spaces. He's very good on the ball. But I think and maybe that's me, maybe that's a bit of a negative mindset where I'm sort of thinking more about spoiling Celtic's game than playing our game. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I do think the manager will start with Lindstrom and Diomande, and I think Cantwell will play ahead with them like we did today. But the idea of the midfield three, Lindstrom, Diomande and Sterling, I think that sounds all right, and I think that would get us some joy. You know, we'd probably be able to impose ourselves in the midfield if we did that. Don't see the manager doing it.
Nah, again, to try something that new and that big a change, you're not going to try in the one game of the season where your title hopes are, you know, are going to be laid bare. We mentioned Tom Warren's coming on for Todd Cantwell then, and I was furious. I kind of done a Fabio Silva moment today where I made myself look like a bit of an arsehole. Tom Warren's picks that ball. He does a lovely wee turn at the edge of the box round, and then the pass is on for, I think it was actually Ross McCausland, somebody's left him, and I'm screaming, play fucking ball. And then he must have heard me and he thought, I'm going to shut that wee prick up. And I was made a fool. I can admit when I'm wrong, Tom Warren's, take a bow. That was a beautiful goal. And, you know, I think that's that is the positive that of Cantwell going on. You mentioned earlier, Cantwell and Lawrence, if they're in the same team, they kind of fall over each other. So it has to be one or the other. It's a good option to have somebody like Tom Lawrence to can come on and do that. Our attacking options, like based on today, like I'm a bit more comfortable that if we need to go and get a goal, then we've got the options on the bench next week. I don't think Tom Lawrence has done enough to start ahead of Cantwell, but again, we can get a good half hour, 40 minutes where he can change the game potentially.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that goal today was sort of sumptuous. It's one of the goals of the season for me. Just the way he takes it in, the way he beats the defender and then swivels back, gets on his right foot. Just, here's you. He goes, right. And then he rockets it into the top corner. And then I saw him when he was celebrating, he's going, get it up, Colin. So, obviously, you know, it's... just that to silence you and your criticism, because the thing is, like, sometimes players will do that, won't they? And he'll do what John Souter did earlier in the game and rifle it high, wide, and anything but handsome, you know. And a lot of the time, because Lawrence has got the skill to do it, you know, we've seen it before. But even players that have got the skill to do it, you're maybe 1 in 10 actually goes in the net. And maybe only about 1 in every 3 or 4 is on target when they try that, you know. So it's one of those things where he scores it today, so he looks like a genius. But if it had been, you know, away to the right or whatever the goal, he would have been getting slated for no playing in somebody else, because I think, as you say, McCausland was there. But in terms of Lawrence, I don't see him starting. I do see him coming on off the bench next week, or Cantwell probably. And again, I'll probably be furious about that at the time if Cantwell's looking as if he's playing, especially if we're not comfortable in the game. And, you know, as much as I want us to be, I don't think we'll get to a situation next week where we're 2 goals ahead and comfortable. So if Lawrence comes on and does that next week, that would be brilliant. Thank you very much. And I'd really appreciate that, Tom, if you're watching.
Before we stop talking about the football and getting a good bit of VAR bashing, one thing I want to call out, Red Van Yilmaz, my wee Hasbulla, my wee Torag, it was great seeing him back on the pitch today. And again, like, it was only a third minute or something, come on, so time added on time, like 15 minutes. It's just something, I'm not going to sleep on the Barisic, other than the first goal. I thought Barisic was fine today. But you just see how direct Red Van Yilmaz is. That darting run in between fullback and centre-back at the right time. Even if we can only get 60 minutes of him, he has to start next week. For me, it's just, he brings so much energy and a different attacking option. Buzzing to see him back.
Yeah, likewise. Right for the start of his Rangers career, I've really wanted to see Yilmaz starting every week. I think he's a fantastic wee player. And he brings something different. He's a different player for Barisic. Barisic was all right today. He actually got forward a bit, put in some good crosses and whatnot. And as I said earlier, you know, the first goal, I think Barisic needs to do a bit better in terms of, you know, the man kind of dribbles past him and I think manages to get a pass to a teammate when it looks as if at one point in that challenge that Barisic is the favourite to come out with the ball. But I don't know, I have big concerns about Borna Barisic going to Parkhead. You know, I've got huge concerns about that. I'd probably rather see Sterling at left back if Redvan's not going to start next week. But it's going to be all right because Redvan's going to start and, you know, probably score the first goal as well. I'm really, really pleased to see him back in the team. And I think that chances are the manager will start him next week.
Obviously we're going to speak about it throughout the week in the news show and Thursday's live stream. It's monumental. Even if you don't find that we're going to win the league, it will be confirmed next week. It'll be decided next week in reality. So he has to gamble with everything he's got. And then, you know, to see where we are at the end here. So we've touched on it a couple of times throughout. There may have been occasions where it's been used so much and it's held the game up so much, but I can't remember being at a game where VAR disrupted the flow of the game so early on and so frequently. I can think of three big occasions where it stopped for several minutes. I know he makes excuses for Rangers, but obviously Kilmarnock, a goal up, they are they want to make it difficult for Rangers to play their game. So the stop start will suit Kilmarnock more than Rangers. I don't think that's unfair to say. But taking the football game, it's just, as a spectator, I was bored out of my skull. But like, I didn't have the commentary or anything on. I'm just kind of looking about, started counting the flags, waiting for something to happen. What was your thoughts on the officiating today?
VAR's just too slow. It's just too slow. And I think for what it's worth, like, pretty much all the decisions were right in the end. I said to my brother at one point in the day, you know, the refs are the shocker. But it wasn't really the ref making bad decisions as such, although some of them I thought I should have seen on field. They shouldn't have needed to rely on VAR. But the amount of hold-up in the play, with 8 minutes added on time, it could easily have been double that. You know, like, see the first 20 minutes, I think there was about 4 minutes of football actually played. There was a fiasco with a drop ball, and I know you're not supposed to have contested drop balls anymore, but the ball was coming back to Rangers, so, you know, and twice a Rangers player tried to get the drop ball, and, you know, the referee fucking dropped way back and all that, sorry for swearing. You know, and then you had all those stoppages, you had all the VAR stoppages. I mean, like, the first one, which I think was the Rangers penalty shout for the handball, just seemed to take ages. And in the end, like, the referee stood his ground and went with his original on-field decision of no penalty, which was probably fair enough for me. I mean, I know it looks like, and you have seen those ones go either way, I think. The ball was kind of high up in the air, well, not high up in the air, but high up on the player's body when he handles, and it kind of bounces. You know, the two players are very close to each other, and the ball bounces off of Sterling, not the boy's arm. I think it bounces back onto Sterling's hand then as well. But for me, that wasn't a penalty, and I think the referee actually got that right in the end, sticking with his original decision. But it's just how long it took, you know. And then the next one, I think, was probably the one where Rangers did get a penalty. And I know they have to look, obviously, at the offside aspect of it as well. I feel as if that needs to be a lot quicker, especially, you know, where we've got the option, or potentially the option, for the semi-automated stuff. I don't really know what the status of that is, but, you know, you look at the offside decision and turns out Silva's onside. Silva actually did really well at that point, by the way, of, you know, taking the ball under control, great touch, does well to put it across the 6-yard area. Sterling's coming in, though. I think it is Sterling, isn't it? He's coming in and for some bizarre reason, the Kilmarnock defender tries to take a touch 2 yards out for his goal. But you just got to put your laces through that and get it away. But he tries to take a touch and bring it down. Sterling kind of clatters into the ball, it comes up, and the boy handles it off the goal line. So to me, it's a clear penalty. Felt sorry for the boy getting sent off. I think that's it is the rule. You know, you've handled the ball on the goal line and stopped the goal. It is a red card by the rules. I just think that's a bit harsh. I think a penalty in the yellow would probably have done. But again, just took ages to get to that decision. And then Tavernier steps up and misses the penalty. Well, no, he doesn't miss the penalty. He perceives it. And actually, it's a really good penalty. He strikes it. Plenty of power, low, in the corner. The goalkeeper does an excellent job of getting across to that. So, you know, but that one, as I say, the VAR's decision just took ages. And The thing I don't like about VAR is how much it interrupts the flow of the game. And I think you and I were on the Gallant Few Daily News through the week talking about VAR. I can't remember why, but I actually said, you know, I'm, at this point, I would now say, let's just get rid of VAR. Like, we've had it, and it's getting more decisions right. I think that's fine. We are getting more decisions right, probably, but a lot of it's still subjective. A lot of it's still an interpretation. But the one today where the referee goes over at the monitor for the first penalty shout, the handball, like I said, you've seen them given either way. You know, it's not clear, it's no decisive. So, you know, the referee's on-field decision was no penalty. It was still no penalty after they looked at the screen. But whether it says penalty or no penalty in that scenario, you're going to get people disagreeing. So, you know, I think referees will just make decisions. They'll get some of them right, some of them wrong. I think they do pretty well most of the time, despite what supporters of every club seem to think. Referees are, you know, it's just sort of a bit lacking the final 5%, the decisions, but 95% of decisions are absolutely spot on field. I don't think VAR's bringing us anything at this point, really.
No.
If we had it significantly quicker and decisions were turned around within 10, 15 seconds for things like offsides, then great. But we're not at that point yet. And for me personally, I know this won't happen now that we've got VAR, but for me personally, I'd just get rid of it. It'd just make the game flow a lot better. You can celebrate a goal, which you can't do now, unless you're absolutely certain. And, you know, the players as well, you can see them, they score a goal. In days gone by, they would just look at the referee, look at the linesman. And when the referee points to the centre circle, that's it, the goal's awarded. There's no turning back, you know. You've always got this sense of nervousness now when your team scores a goal, that even if the referee's pointed to the centre circle, there'll be about 30 seconds, 10 minutes delay for a VAR check, and then, you know, potentially call goal at the monitor as well.
Aye, and that's what I think with the goal with VAR, like, aye, it's trying to get 100% accuracy of decision making for the outcome with the athletes, but it's a spectator sport. Football is first and foremost for the fans, and it has to be an enjoyable watch. Like, it's an entertainment production here, and that's what's suffering. You're right, I don't think they will. I don't think Scottish football in general are creative enough or bold enough to make any radical changes. I mean, look at, you know, how archaic a league setup is, but seeing Sweden vote that out, I mean, I think you will see more countries decide not to use it. We are just not, we don't tend to make any decisions at all for the better game of Scottish football. So I think it's here to stay. Back in the days, like before it came in, when people were speaking about how it'd be used, I always loved the idea of like the challenge system that they use in tennis, where, you know, each manager has three challenges they get to pick at any point in the game. Yeah. Because can you imagine being 1-0 up, right, and there's the last 5 minutes in the shithouse you can get away with just disrupting it, like challenging, throwing decisions just to disrupt the game? That'd be good entertainment value, but no stopping. Don't stop me for every 2 minutes. I put in the YouTube vote again. If you had the option, would you bin VAR? The options were yes, no, keep it as is, or keep it but change how it's used. And 56% of the listeners saying that yes, it's 100% bin it. So I think it's this isn't unique to Scottish football either. Like we on the news show, we were talking about the Premier League fans have the same issue. It's just the flow of the game. But as you say, it's here to stay, and I don't see anyone has been brave enough to do anything about it. But I think that's probably all the big talking points for today's game, Bill. How you feel? I know we're going to do it to death, the build-up next week. Do you think we can go there and get a result? Well, two questions. What result do we need to get to keep the league alive? For me, I think it's 3 points or nothing. And do you think we'll get it?
normally right the week before an Old Firm game kind of looks like this. So, but this time, I think it's 8 days at the moment to go, or 7.5 days or whatever. And at this time, I'm normally quite bullish, especially given that we've just won, we've won by a few goals. So, you know, I'll be giving it, oh, come on, you know, we can go out and do that mob. And if you're asking me to forecast it tonight, I think we're going to win 3-1 or 2-0, and we're going to win by two goals. That's what I'm saying. And that changes, see, by about Wednesday, my Arsenal will be making buttons. And, you know, I'll probably Wednesday night, I'll have us beat at the weekend. And then by the Saturday morning, you know, I'm back to go, no, come on, Rangers, we'll do this mob. They're pish. And, you know, I think Sunday morning, up to about an hour before kick-off, you know, when the battle fever's on and all that, and you're absolutely convinced you're going to give them a tanking. And it's funny, like, regardless of how well or how badly we're playing, that's the pattern of these games for me, is what I go through ahead of them. So what do we need? We need to win, obviously. We touched on goal difference, and I was saying, you know, there's a 15-20 minute spell towards the end of the game today, where if we pushed on and applied ourselves a bit more and actually looked as if we were chasing a goal, then we could have got another one or two, and that could have been important. So the goal difference at the moment is that I think 5 in favour of that lot would have got a goal difference that's better by +5. If we go there and win by two clear goals, the goal difference, that's a 4-goal swing, so the goal difference is reduced to +1 in their favour. I think when we're level on points and there's only one goal in it, the title race is very much alive. You know, either team can then quite feasibly win it on goal difference. Either team could drop points as well towards the end of the season. But, you know, it's really going to come down to who does what in the last couple of games. Can we score enough goals? You know, it could come down to final day, all the stuff we've seen in the past, Helicopter Sunday. It was all brilliant at the time, you know, like the feeling of winning that league or whatever. But by God, see the last like, few games of those seasons, they were so nerve-shredding. And I'm sure that's what this will be this week. We need a win. If we win by one goal, I think the goal difference is then +3. So we're definitely not out of the race on goal difference. But I think a 2-goal win really puts it in our hands. Can I see us going there and winning? If I'm truthful, I don't know. We've really struggled in the past. The game, Clermont's first game at Parkhead, which I think was the sort of New Year game, if that's right, wasn't it? And so that's the game where we were 2-0 down to 10 men, weren't we? And sort of the last half hour, we absolutely dominated. We got a goal back, and Celtic hung on for their lives the last, 10 minutes or whatever. To finish that game 2-1 winners. The game at Ibrox, we went 2 goals down bizarrely, and then sort of got ourselves level, and then let them, you know, kind of just a ridiculous goal to score straight after we'd scored. You know, we shouldn't have, we're just having these defensive lapses, but then we go and score again, and we had a chance right at the death to win it 4-3 at Ibrox. And which didn't happen, but you know, we have always been in it under Clermont when we've played them. I think we've got as good a chance, and it'll come down to belief probably. If the team believes that they can go there and do it, then we've got a good chance of going there and doing it. If they don't believe, then I don't know how it's going to happen.
It's funny seeing the comments coming in for the live stream, and I think the our listeners are quite a good representation of the way the Rangers support, way kind of how they feel. And again, like I'm including myself in this, but we're definitely reactive because the comments that we're seeing through the night, there's a lot saying that's still in it. Like there's twists and turns to be coming. I've been sharing them on screen there, and that's kind of how I'm feeling. Where no, last week I don't see how we get the result, but again I'm going to caveat this with we were playing against 10 men at Ibrox, I know, but there was a lot of glimpses of what we like when we were under our best at Clermont. Like we've seen some of that again today. So I think it has to be a win. So when we started talking about next week, a lot of comments coming in saying, right, no, we need to win by two or three. I think we just need to win because it's a harder task to beat Celtic at Parkhead on Saturday than get the goal difference up in the last two games. I think if we beat Celtic, that gives the team the belief that they need, then the goals will come. I think, you know, we're probably a bit naive if we say, yeah, we need to go and win convincingly when there's no evidence that we can, we've not done that this year. So that's the big one for me. I'm the same as you. I will go through every emotion. You know, the more I started speaking about it there, the more I started to kind of get a wee bit staked up. And now I'm actually thinking, nah, we will win quite comfortably. The more I'm like, oh, I don't know what to think about Saturday. It's just what we said at the time when we got back into the title race that we were educating young Andy and young Scott in the pod who are like combined age of 22. Title races aren't nice, Bill. They're really not nice. Great when they turn out for you afterwards, but they're not nice.
Do you know what though? See, like when Clermont first got here, I'd have beat you anything to be in a title race this season, because we didn't think it could happen. So, you know, that is a positive in itself. And I am a kind of guy for, you know, looking at the positives, even, you know, if we don't win the league this season, see if we can, as Big Phil there, aptly named, has said, keep it alive for the last day. See if we can do that. And, you know, we've won a League Cup and we'll be in the Scottish Cup final and potentially win that. I still think that's an okay season. I'm still relatively happy with that. The fact that we've run them close this season gives me a lot of confidence for next season. We can build on what we've got. And, I mean, you and I talked on the news show through the week about us needing to get leaders in over the summer. Clermont needs a couple of guys that are real leaders in the squad. So, you know, it gives me a lot of confidence for next season. Clermont's maybe extracted as much as he can out of this team. I do believe in him. I believe he's the guy. You know, next season can really press on. Be a huge blow, that mob getting the automatic Champions League spot again, especially off the back of us being the only Scottish team to do anything with the coefficient again. But, do you know, you have to just look at where we were when, you know, under Mick Beale. Remember, we lost 3-1 to Aberdeen at home. And, well, night and day. I know we've had a sort of dip in form the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. But, well, we're still a much better team. We're still much more resilient than we were under Beale. And I do believe that Clermont's the guy. So I'm positive about next season, even if we don't win this league this year. But as of now, you know, it's 3 points that's in it. It's a 5-goal difference. So as far as I'm concerned, the treble's still on.
What a lovely statement to finish tonight's podcast on, Bill. The treble is still well and truly on, and stranger things have happened, and stranger things will happen again. So that's why we love the sport. But I'm going to wrap up there. As always, a massive thank you to all the listeners. There are a lot of comments coming in. It's great to see you all. I really appreciate you watching. If you want more content, we will be on the news Monday to Friday. You know, time we get recorded, the show is usually up about 9 o'clock. So nice way to get your morning started. Big Handsome Bill was joined by Young Scott tomorrow morning, and I'll be back on Tuesday. If you can give us a like, a subscribe, a follow, a share, whatever, it does really help the podcast grow. And you know, we really do appreciate your support as always. So Bill, I'm going to finish up, ask you for a goodbye to the listeners and your man of the match for today.
Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. We do really appreciate it, and as Colin said, and as I say to you every time I'm on the Daily News, please like, subscribe, etc. to keep the heating on at Gallant VHQ. Really value having everybody on and sending in their comments and all of that. It's what makes doing this and sharing this with all of you really worthwhile. And I was thinking back there to the League Cup final. I've got a really nice bottle, a really expensive bottle of cognac in my cupboard. And I opened it after the League Cup final and I had a dram out of it on the podcast as we were recording. So I think I'll be, if we win again, I'll be having another dram out of that because it's sat in my cupboard ever since. So, yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. Man of the match for today, I'm probably going to say Cantwell. I think he did enough to earn it for me.
I'm going to give it to Cantwell too. The listeners on YouTube are overwhelmingly giving it to Diomande, but Cantwell gets it for me. Diomande, Sterling probably just behind Cantwell, just on that League Cup final recording. I'm sure I hosted that one, but a wee sneak behind the preview. I don't remember doing that. I woke up in the next morning with the mother of all hangovers, completely unaware I was on the pod. I was leathered on that. So apologies to him to listen back to that, but I'm sure you can forgive me that one time. But until then, we'll be back tomorrow morning and enjoy the rest of your bank holiday Sunday, folks. We are the people.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.